One, two, three, four.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together we're
brunched.
Brunched is what you said.
Brunched.
Brunched.
We had some brunch.
We did have brunch.
It was good.
It was good.
I had a pizza.
I had a whole pizza.
Brunch pizza.
I had a Florentine brunch pizza.
I had a, what was it? Calabrese?
Yes.
I don't know. It was tasty.
It was. Great, great banter.
Not going to like, you know, take it and run with it and like, yes and with me.
Okay. Yes, yours was tasty and so was mine. Now your turn to yes and.
What makes brunch brunch?
I think the only thing that makes brunch brunch is someone asking if you want to go to brunch.
I completely agree.
And then you just go do something. Right. And if you eat food, when someone's like, do you want to get brunch? Then it's brunch.
It's brunch.
Yeah.
It's automatically brunch.
Yeah. I think it also has to do with there is a mix of eggs and infinite other things on the menu.
But it can be any food.
Definitely eggs, though.
Could it be a salad?
Yes.
Could it be a song salad? See where I'm going with this?
Yes, and a song salad is a random topic from Wikipedia combined with a random music genre.
From the produce section.
I forgot we called it that. To make an original song written by us.
And we are Shannon and Scott.
Yes, we said that.
And we get the random topic and genre by spinning the salad spinner, which is a suggestion from our loyal listeners like you. Today's salad spinner suggestion comes from Todd on a roll.
On a roll with Autumn. Todd and Autumn, we're switching off.
So it's a Todd week here.
Yeah.
Todd says, make your own at dog rates review. Can be of Hudson or Ellis, if they're in the room, or any adorable animal.
So dog rates. Let's talk about dog rates.
So it's We Rate Dogs, and the Twitter handle is @dog_rates.
Yes.
And they just post pictures of cute pups and do descriptions of the pups and then a rating like out of 10.
But it's always more than 10.
It's always more than 10.
Yeah, which is great.
So, for example, there's a picture of a really cute, what is that, a beagle? No, basset hound?
What, yeah, are those, it's, dogs called? It's a basset hound, basset or a bloodhound. Yeah.
And it says, this is Fern. He is commander of the yard, overseer of all outdoor happenings, emperor of the long-eared boys. 13 out of 10 wood noggin pet.
Yes. So, all very cute, very good dogs. And we have to make our own dog rates. Your two cats are Hudson and Ellis, so yep. We can dog rates your cats.
We can.
Or any adorable animal.
All right.
You want me to go?
Sure.
Okay. This is Megan. Queen of nail polish removing. Loyal song salad observer. And always should have peed before we left. Anyway. 14 out of 10, would friend again.
Aw, that was cute. Spin.
Spin. It happened.
Our genre this week.
Christmas music. This is just, this is just general Christmas music.
Not specific, just general Christmas music.
As we mentioned, like last week, I think, or 2 weeks ago, there are a lot more genres of Christmas music that are on our new list. You know, like classical Christmas, pop Christmas.
Could be punk Christmas.
Like traditional Christmas
carol.
Children's
Christmas.
Yeah, but this is just Christmas music.
Christmas music, according to Wikipedia, comprises a variety of genres of music normally performed or heard around the Christmas season.
Yes.
Music associated with Christmas may be purely instrumental, or in the case of many carols or songs, they may employ lyrics whose subject matter ranges from the nativity of Jesus Christ to gift-giving and merrymaking to cultural figures such as Santa Claus, among other topics. I like Santa Claus is just a cultural figure.
Yeah.
It's like his Instagram just says influencer.
Kris Kringle's such an influencer. God.
Performances of Christmas music at public concerts, in churches, at shopping malls, on city streets, and in private gatherings is an integral staple of the Christmas holiday in many cultures across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Music associated with Christmas is thought to have its origins in the 4th century in Rome in Latin hymns such as Veni Redemptor Genitum. By the 13th century, under the influence of Francis of Assisi, the tradition of popular Christmas songs in regional native languages developed.
Huh.
Christmas carols,
I was just going to say, that's like, I guess kind of interesting that Francis of Assisi, otherwise known as Saint Francis, was the dude who was like, hey, everybody.
Let's do popular Christmas songs.
Yeah, like Christmas carols should be a thing.
In native languages. Not just like Latin.
I mean, I guess that does encourage like adoption of them if they're in the native language.
Yeah. Christmas carols in the English language first appear in a 1426 work of John Audley.
Audley. A-W-D-L-A-Y.
That's tricky.
Audley.
John Audley, a British chaplain who lists 25 carols of Christmas.
People spelled like idiots back then, didn't they?
C-A-R-O-L-E-S of C-R-I-S-T-E-M-A-S.
Carolies of Christmas.
Carolies of Christmas. Probably sung by groups of wassailers who would travel from house to house.
That's the evil Mario Universe version of sailors. Wassailers.
Wassailers. Oh man.
No, but wassailers or carolers are people who would go from door to door
wassailing.
And yes, and when you sing, you're supposed to give them wassail, and wassail is like a spiced mulled wine.
Yeah.
And so it was like a tradition to go from house to house and get some warming drinks.
It's like trick or treating but a lot better.
Yeah. With singing and alcohol. Trick or treating with singing. Why don't people sing when they trick or treat?
I did in high school. It was like our thing.
Oh,
our group
God,
of friends
of
would go house to house singing, and we'd get a ton of candy. We would sing like show tunes in harmony and stuff. Are you surprised?
No, not at all.
In the 16th century, various Christmas carols still sung to this day, including the 12 Days of Christmas, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, and O Christmas Tree, first emerged. And also, speaking of things like O Christmas Tree, a lot of these carols originated in one country, like O Tannenbaum in German, and then were translated into other languages and lyrics were rewritten, but the tunes are shared.
O Christmas Tree.
Tree is spelled T-R-A-E.
Yeah. The Victorian era saw a surge of Christmas carols associated with a renewed admiration of the holiday, including Silent Night, O Little Town of Bethlehem, and O Holy Night. The first Christmas songs associated with St. Nicholas or other gift bringers also came during the 19th century, including Up on the Housetop and Jolly Old St. Nicholas. Oh, I wouldn't have thought that Up on the Housetop was from the 19th century.
No, it seems a lot newer, right?
Yeah, like, I guess, do people have, like, roofs?
Shannon.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you think about, like, the 1800s, right? The 19th century.
Yeah.
And people, I'm sure, I know people had roofs, but they, weren't they all like made of straw and
stuff? That was like the Industrial Revolution. People were inventing like steam trains and crap.
Up on the housetop, reindeer paws, and then a whole hoof just comes through your roof.
Up on the straw roof, Santa fell right into my bedroom. Oops, he's dead.
And then everyone's just in their like one room dirt floor with a stove and just reindeer legs just all coming through the roof. Chaos. Anyway, it just seems like, doesn't it just seem like a more,
it
modern,
seems more modern
song than the 1800s?
Sure.
I mean, maybe they updated the lyrics or something.
Probably. Sure. I don't know. I feel like it's not that weird.
Anyway, many older Christmas hymns were also translated or had lyrics added to them during this period, like maybe Up on the Housetop, particularly in 18...
What's your beef with Up on the Housetop?
No, it just seemed like it should have been written in 1840 or whatever.
All right.
In 1871, when John Stainer published a widely influential collection entitled Christmas Carols New and Old.
Spelled the normal way.
Yes, not caroles. Few notable carols were produced from the beginning of the 20th century until the Great Depression era of the 1930s, when a stream of songs of often American origin were published, most of which did not explicitly reference the Christian nature of the holiday, but rather had the more secular, traditional Western themes and customs associated with Christmas.
Yes.
So here we get like the boom of
Santa Claus is coming to town.
Yep. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Have yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
White Christmas.
Wow. White Christmas remains the best-selling single of all time as of 2017.
What?
That makes sense.
Which White Christmas rendition? The Bing Crosby? Is that Bing Crosby?
Probably.
Yeah. Something like that.
Of a White Christmas. Popular Christmas music produced from after World War II until the present day has generally remained thematically, lyrically, and instrumentally similar to the songs produced in the early 20th century. Since the dawn of the rock era in the mid-1950s, much of the Christmas music produced for popular audiences has had explicitly romantic overtones, often using Christmas as a setting.
Yeah. Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away.
Or what's the Mariah Carey song? All I Want for Christmas is You.
There's also that Kelly Clarkson song, the like,
yeah.
Underneath the tree. You know? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't. Kelly Clarkson?
Yeah, she has a song that's like... the only lyric I might think of is Underneath the Tree.
Song like that?
Yes. Wait, maybe that should be our Google example
it.
Song.
I'm Googling it. Kelly Clarkson, Underneath the Tree.
I don't know if that's what it's called, but...
Yeah, it's called Underneath the Tree.
Okay, I'm a little bit vindicated. Oh, yeah. You're here where you should be. Snow is falling as the carols sing. Wasn't the same on a Christmas day. Something. I don't know.
And that was our example song. Yeah. Underneath the Tree by Kelly Clarkson.
Just like play, get to the chorus and you'll hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Here. You'll hear it. Yeah. Wait, but she does it. No, but she does it.
Underneath the tree.
No, but she does. She's like her big like moment is like she goes underneath the tree. She does it.
Shannon.
No, she does it. Go to the next one. Yes!
There you go.
She does it.
All right. Oh.
Scared the cat. Sorry. So. What were we talking about?
Modern romanticized Christmas songs.
Yeah. So that's one.
That's one. And then the last thing Wikipedia says here before getting into like super specifics is exceptions such as the Christmas shoes from the song from the year 2000 have reintroduced Christian themes as complementary to the secular Western themes, and a plethora of traditional carol cover versions by various artists have explored virtually all music genres.
Yes, indeed.
So
the world is our Christmas oyster.
Yeah, we can do literally any genre.
Any genre.
But the things that Christmas songs have in common, which make them recognizably Christmassy.
They say Christmas.
Well, obviously the lyrical themes.
Yes.
But musically.
Yes.
Usually they are, if they're ballads, they're very like... what's the right word for it? They feel very like warm and comforting and
they're like a little bit somber.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean.
Like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas.
Yeah. It's very like
or like the Christmas song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire.
Yeah.
Those kinds of songs.
Yeah.
They're very romantic.
Yes.
In musical style and very orchestral, usually.
Beals.
That was what I was going to say about up-tempo Christmas songs. Yeah. There's usually like sleigh bells going on.
Well, in the down-tempo ones,
yeah,
there are like usually like big bells, like not like jingle bells, but like
chime bells.
Yes, yeah,
tubular
yeah, yeah.
bell kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, evocative of church bells season. Or winter times.
Mm-hmm. So we can try. So okay, so I think we should pick a genre based on the topic. We should see if the topic lends itself to something.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just have to make sure that we put a Christmas spin on it.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Should we do like a real example?
Oh, yeah. Instead of me just shrieking
Why don't we play White Christmas since it's the best-selling single of all time?
I think that's perfect.
Great.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
All right, so I'm going to spin the salad spinner.
You're gonna rate a dog.
I'm gonna rate a dog for our topic. This is Ellis. Mm-hmm. Loves climbing on garbage cans, trying to eat the contents.
Mm-hmm.
Will sleep in a box most of the day. And tolerates pets. 15 out of 10 would adopt again.
Ooh, higher rated than Megan.
Well, I didn't rate Megan. Maybe my rating for Megan would be higher.
15.2 out of 10 would marry again.
Are you ready for the Christmas spirit to wash over you?
Sure, hit me. What's our topic?
Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia.
Okay. So when I just saw the title, I thought this was going to be like an old thing, because a pharmacopoeia is like an old thing.
Right.
But
do you know what is the actual definition of a pharmacopoeia?
I mean, from what I know, a pharmacopoeia is like a book or catalog of some kind, a collection of medicines, recipes, like kind of, you know, like if you needed to look up like the use of a certain drug or a certain, like a lot, at least like the older ones are like medicinal plants and herbs and tinctures and things. So you would like look it up and it would give you indications like for what you could use it for or how to combine it with other things.
I love a good tincture.
Love those tinctures. So that's why I thought, because, you know, you hear about, you know, like ancient famous doctors having their own like pharmacopoeias.
Yeah. So
but
Hamilton's pharmacopoeia
is not Alexander that. Hamilton's
no.
pharmacopoeia.
It's a Vice series, television series, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Featuring someone named Hamilton Morris,
who we will have to look up,
that chronicles the history and far-reaching effects of drugs on society and one's health.
So do you think it's, I'm sure we can answer this question, but do you think it's like drugs, like recreational drugs, or do you think it's actual medicinal?
I was thinking it's like recreational drugs, because Vice loves stuff like that.
That's true. It's probably this guy.
Boy does cocaine.
Yeah, it's probably like this dude, Hamilton Morris, does a whole bunch of different drugs and then like films himself for Vice. Like, would you
people.
Be surprised if that's what it is?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Not at all. All right, so that's the whole Wikipedia article. We need to find more about
which I'm kind
this.
Of surprised about, but...
First off, Hamilton Morris is an American journalist, science writer, researcher, and editor who lives in Brooklyn, New York, and was born in 1987. Because also everyone who reports for Vice is 30
our
years
age
old.
Or younger. Yeah, exactly.
So he began writing for Vice magazine as a college sophomore and was given a monthly print column titled Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia that evolved into a series of articles and documentaries for VBS TV focused on the science of psychoactive drugs.
Yep, we so called this one.
He is a science editor for Vice magazine and a correspondent for Vice, the TV series on HBO. He frequently consults with the media on the subject of psychoactive drugs and conducts pharmacological research at the University of the Sciences in Philadelphia.
That sounds like a
fake
place.
With an emphasis on the synthesis and history of dissociative anesthetics.
Huh. He's currently writing books about clandestine chemistry and the murder of mycologist Stephen H. Palick. Mycologist, so he studied mushrooms and fungi?
I guess.
Mycologist?
So, episodes of Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia include the story of the South African Quaalude, a positive PCP story,
Shepherdess, the story of Salvia Divinorum.
Magic mushrooms in Mexico.
Oh, the next one's the best. Fish and trips. Which has a great, it could either be fish and chips or fishing trips.
Yeah.
Very good.
And lastly, the Lazy Lizard School of Hedonism.
Interesting.
You want to check out an episode?
Yeah. Let's try to find an episode of Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia.
Found it.
Oh, man, y'all.
Hamilton Morris. This dude.
This
hipster. This 30-year-old hipster.
We just watched him in the jungle in skinny jeans.
In the Amazon rainforest. In a video project called The Sapo Diary.
Yeah. So apparently Sapo... I'm just gonna say it.
Just say it.
He gets high off a frog.
He finds a hallucinogenic tree frog with this like village in the Amazon.
Yeah.
And they burn his arm and rub a stick on the back of the tree frog, which is like suspended, trapped in a little.
Yeah, they like tie him up. They like splay him out and tie him up.
So they scrape the back of the tree frog and then put that jelly, as they call it, into his burn wounds.
Yeah.
And he gets high off the frog.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is basically every episode. He goes and he like finds a different drug and like does it.
Yep.
And talks about it and talks about like the history and who does it and all that.
And he has monstrous vocal fry.
All the narration is like, Juan lights a stick on fire. Juan burns my arm. Juan rubs the jelly on my burns. I'm feeling real high now.
I'm feeling a distinct drunken-headedness. He says drunken-headedness like 8 times.
Should Hamilton Morris sing our Christmas song?
I'm dreaming of a high Christmas.
White Christmas
with every frog
covered in cocaine.
I scrape its back. Guys,
please go watch the YouTube video Tripping on Hallucinogenic Frogs, part 3 of 3.
Yeah, we just watched, but we skipped ahead to part 3 of 3.
And we'll post a picture of the frog.
Yeah. Yeah, we will. He also has episodes on Icelandic mushroom picking.
Ambien.
Chinese synthetic cannabinoid laboratories.
TTX medicated zombification.
Yeah, I don't know what that really means. It's kind of scary. So it really just seems like hipster boy goes and gets high all around the world for Christmas.
This didn't really inspire a music genre.
Can we just do classic Christmas carol?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Let's just do a classic Christmas carol about this classic Christmas topic.
Pharmacopoeia.
Yeah, Pharmacopoeia. Hamilton Morris reporting for Vice.
All right. We need to come up with an angle here.
Yeah.
Before I'm going to be able to figure out anything musically.
What if?
Yeah.
It's Hamilton's Christmas list. And it's all...
It's a wish list for exotic drugs that he's writing to Santa Claus.
Yes. Exotic and uncomfortable experiences. Because we should also mention, so he gets high on this frog jelly.
Yeah.
But he's sitting on like an overturned canoe in the jungle with like a swarm of flies around him in the direct sunlight, which even if you were doing the best drugs, seems like the worst place to do drugs.
And also he said the high was unpleasant.
Yeah.
And that his stomach really hurt.
Yeah. So. And they have to burn you to put it on you.
Right.
Y'all. All right, let's do it.
Hamilton's Christmas list.
Here we go.
All right, Shannon. what do you have for me?
I have a very good Christmas list.
Christmas list.
Christmas list. All right. So
tell me your wish list for this very druggy Christmas.
Yeah. So this is it's written to be just like there's like kind of like a little intro and then it's almost like a poem, but it's a list.
Okay.
Which I think is like more keeping with old timey Christmas carols, which didn't necessarily have the like, you know, verse chorus structure all sure. the time. And I looked up a lot of I basically just Googled weird ways to get high for my inspiration. So I'm going to read this and then we can talk about the specific references that I'm making, because some of them are they're going to
are they bonkers?
They are bonkers. They are. All right, here we go. Some may want a doll or game or even clothes or money, but my Christmas list is full of things for feeling funny. Just bring me rubber cement or some dude's excrement you've bottled up for a couple of days.
Oh no.
I'll take jet fuel to drinky or a fine gruel of stinky bones and giraffe liver paste. The mold off of wheat is especially sweet when made into an ointment applied.
Whoa.
By coating a broom and starting to zoom as your lady bits go for a ride.
Oh, no.
And maybe this year I'll get ether and cheer through my whole surgery on a trip. Or butt chug some shrooms. Or party down on the fumes from a can of cream of the whip.
Oh, my God.
But even if I don't get a gift that can freak me right out of my gourd, I'll drink too much wassail and ask you to post bail when I go caroling with a real sword.
Oh my God. So much to unpack here. So much just happened.
So that's my druggy Christmas list.
That's fantastic.
Okay. Let's unpack some stuff.
It's a veritable pharmacopoeia.
It is a pharmacopoeia of how to get high in the worst ways possible.
In the worst ways.
I did also, you know, on the Hamilton's pharmacopoeia one about him rubbing the frog on him.
Mm-hmm. Frog jelly.
Frog jelly on him. At the end of it, he talks about something called like ayahuasca.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So there's this like vine that you like boil down or something and you get high off it. That's supposed to be one of the craziest trips you can take.
Really?
And thousands of people are like ayahuasca tourists who like go to South America like specifically to get high off of it.
So yeah, this guy had a
bale.
Boat.
Yeah.
And there's a bale of ayahuasca vine in the middle of the boat.
Yeah.
Like, and he was like, we're going to go make our own.
Yeah. So I didn't.
This is after he's like recovering from his frog trip.
Yeah. So that is not specifically referenced here, but I did like read a bit about it. So rubber cement, people know you can huff rubber cement.
Right.
You can also huff human waste that you have put into a plastic bottle and left to ferment for a few days.
You just get high off the fumes.
Yeah. Apparently, it's very popular with children in the slums of Zambia.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's really horrible.
That's so sad.
Yep. Throughout different wars and in different military applications, people have drunk jet fuel.
Makes sense.
And torpedo fuel.
Okay.
So that's that reference. In the Sudan, there is apparently a paste made out of bone marrow and giraffe livers that you eat that supposedly has psychotropic properties.
Interesting.
So let's talk about witches.
Yeah. Is this the broom thing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it.
Okay. So a lot of what we associate with witches, like brewing, magic potions, cauldron, brooms, that sort of stuff actually all has a kind of weird historical basis,
mm-hmm.
partly because in medieval times, women were responsible for brewing beer for the household.
Gotcha.
And beer was one of the only ways that you could like safely drink liquid and not get sick.
That makes sense. Because
it's fermented and, you know, or like boiled.
Right.
And it kills the germs. And so almost everybody drank beer all the time. And almost every household that was drinking beer, it was made by the woman of the house.
Okay.
It was her job. There was a certain period of time or like a certain region where hops were considered to like bring your spirits down and make you gassy. So instead of brewing beer with hops, they would use like other herbs. And sometimes those herbs were like hallucinogenic.
Oh my God.
Another thing that kind of gets like wrapped into this whole culture is that there is a type of, I think it's called ergot, E-R-G-O-T.
Okay.
And it's a mold that grows on wheat.
Oh, I've heard of this.
Yeah. And so that mold, if you just, it's psychotropic.
Mm-hmm.
And if you eat it, it'll give you like hallucinations and stuff, but it's also really hard on your stomach. So what these people would do is they would boil it down into an ointment and put it on their skin. And the most, well, like the largest mucous membrane and the fastest absorption is gonna be your labia and vagina.
Yeah.
So the most efficacious way to apply it would be to put it on a broom handle and ride around on a broom handle.
Interesting.
And it is thought that that is where the
image done widely enough that the whole image of witches on broomsticks came from that.
Apparently, it's thought that this is where that imagery comes from of like loner women who were acting crazy riding around on brooms.
Oh my God.
They were getting high off of this like mold ointment.
Wow. So just bottomless women.
Running around, dresses on.
Running around with brooms.
They weren't Porky Pig in it. They had dresses on. Oh my God.
You know where I think I've heard of ergot was one of the explanations for the dancing plague.
Yeah, sure,
was that
sure.
All the bread or the wheat or whatever had that the village was eating had been contaminated. It made everyone like go out in this village square and dance.
In like psychotropic drugs. Yeah, yeah. Sure. I believe it. People used to huff ether, which I feel like a lot of people know about ether. Okay, there's a reference to, I say butt chug some shrooms.
Mm.
One of my favorite parts of this, there is an amazing anthropology museum in Mexico City. And when we were there, they had this whole extra exhibit on the Incans. And they did a lot with like body modification in like really, really extreme ways. Like they would like reshape their skulls and they would drill in their teeth and
had nothing
put rocks
better to
in
do.
Their face and stuff like that. And their shamans, not only would they they would stab themselves in the penises with stingray spines.
Same.
Which was Saturday, which was like a way of auto sacrifice to the fertility gods, apparently.
But they would probably not going to help you.
I know,
be fertile.
I know you would think. But they would also, because the mushrooms that they were that the shamans were taking to get high were hard on the stomach, which seems to be a theme. They would make them into like a concoction, and they would put them up their butts and an enema.
A nice psychedelic mushroom enema.
Yes, exactly. So that's that. And then party down on the fumes from a can of cream of the whip is just my right. way of twisting something so that it rhymes. But people do huff the fumes from whipped cream
cans. Yeah. Spray paint too.
Yep. Spray paint. Yeah. So that's all the drug references.
That's fantastic. You did a lot of research. Good job.
I did. Thank you. So hopefully we learned a lot and this is going to be funny.
Yes, especially over the lilting,
Bing Crosby-esque
rhapsodic Christmas tune that I've come up with here. It's
right.
very orchestrally based.
Okay.
It's got piano, harp, strings, horns, tubular bells, glockenspiel.
What's a tubular bell?
So they're like what you would call orchestral chimes, basically, and they look like long, thin tubes of metal, and they're all suspended in a row. So it looks like...
Could you turn it into a bong?
I'm sure you could turn it into a bong.
Something else I found is that GIs in Vietnam would turn their guns into bongs.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. There's a lot of really interesting ways we've tried to get fucked up over the years. Anyway, sorry.
Not just we.
We as a people. Yeah. We as humanity.
Right.
Yeah.
But anyway, you hit the tubular bells with a hammer on the top lip of them and they ring out.
I didn't know you hit the top lip of them. I thought you just like...
No, there's like a little, like a thicker rim of metal around the top of the tube and you hit it right on the edge.
Yeah. Interesting. I didn't know that. Cool.
And the clarion call sounds.
Come get your drugs! Dong!
So are we calling this Hamilton's Christmas list or are we going to call it something funnier like...
I think
but
it needs,
chug some shrooms.
I think it should be like a very druggy Christmas.
A
very druggy Christmas.
Sure.
I like that because Hamilton's drug list. What is it? Oh, Hamilton's Christmas list. I feel like it's misleading because I feel like people are going to be like, oh, is that about Alexander Hamilton?
Yeah, everything is these days.
Yeah. So I think a druggy Christmas list or a druggy Christmas. Very druggy Christmas. What did I just say?
How many drugs are you on right now?
Caffeine. Just one.
Just one.
Yeah.
A very druggy Christmas.
A very druggy Christmas. A Christmas song.
By Shannon and Scott.
I'm Hamilton Morris, and this is my Christmas list. Just bring me rubber, cement, or some dude's excrement bottled up for a couple of days. I'll take jet fuel to drinky or a fine gruel of stinky bones and giraffe liver paste. The mold off of wheat is especially sweet and made into an ointment applied by coating a broom and starting to zoom as your lady bits go for a ride. And maybe this year I'll get ether and cheer through my whole surgery on a trip, or butt chug some shrooms, or party down on the fumes from a can of cream of the whip. But even if I don't get a gift that can freak me right out of my gourd, I'll drink too much wassail and ask you to post bail when I go caroling with a real sword.
God bless us, everyone.
Oh, boy.
God bless drugs, everyone.
I see God. Please bless us, everyone. Ah, boy.
Never thought I'd write a Christmas song about experimental drugs.
Every week, I never think I'd write a song about the things we write songs about. But this one is especially dissonant, I guess.
It's pretty dissonant,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You did a great job of crooning, though.
Oh, thanks.
You're so welcome.
Thanks. Probably better not to try to sing it as Hamilton Morris.
No, just your introduction
total
was good
vocal
enough.
Fry.
Yeah. You would damage your vocal cords.
Should we tweet this at him?
Ooh.
He is a millennial.
He's a millennial.
He's on Twitter.
He's definitely on Twitter. He's a Vice reporter. We did make fun of his skinny jeans.
I mean, I'm sure he's heard that before. But like, I have no problem with skinny jeans. I have a problem with skinny jeans in the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah. It's like, didn't anybody tell you what to pack?
In that whole video, he kind of looked like he was in a community theater production of Jesus Christ Superstar.
In the jungle, though.
In the jungle. Doing frog.
What would you... Okay, so you know how certain drugs have certain, like...
Street names?
Yeah.
Like horse for heroin?
Or like, you know, like... I'm trying to, like, think of a good one, but, like, when you're, like, tripping on frog, you're... Like, what are you? Are you, like... Hopping,
oh,
you know what I mean? I'm hopping. I'm hopping on this frog.
Right, right. Like tweaking.
Tweaking, but
hopping or
croaking.
Croaking is good.
Yeah. Croaking on that frog.
Croaking on that frog.
Oh boy.
Oh man. Everyone should go watch these videos.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
They are quite fascinating. And also like kind of scary and a little bit sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause people really do struggle with, I don't know if anybody's addicted to frogs.
No, but I'm sure someone's died from it.
Yeah. It seems like
it's literally poison.
Yeah. It seems like it can get out of hand pretty easily.
Yeah.
And definitely frogs have died from it.
Well, that's even sadder.
The frog didn't do anything.
I know.
It was just going around being poisonous. It wasn't the frog's fault.
I love how evolution is like, I'm going to make this frog poisonous so it's immune to predators.
Yeah, no one will want to touch it.
And humans are like, I'm going to get high off you.
Humans are like, let me rub that on me.
I'm going to rub that frog in my open sores.
Oh, God. If you like this for whatever reason, you can find...
If you like drugs and Christmas.
If you like drugs and Christmas, and who doesn't? If you need drugs to get through Christmas, you can find more of our episodes by subscribing and listening to our back catalog, because that's how it works.
Go to songsaladpodcast.com to find links to our Twitter, our SoundCloud, our Facebook, and our Patreon.
And we also got more Salad Spinner suggestions, but please keep them coming.
Keep them coming.
On Twitter, @SongSaladCast. Give us a follow. And if you give us a review, we'll give you a shout out.
Thank you to all of our Patreon patrons who are helping keep us going.
You're awesome.
And
the amazing and lovely Jasmine.
Jerfurbs.
Jerfurbs on Twitter. Or
Jerfbs.
Jerfb. Yeah. Jerfbs. On Twitter. She made us an awesome little Airtable that kind of categorizes all of our episodes and like says what the genre was and the topic was and links to the genre and topic and what the salad spinners were.
It's pretty incredible.
It's awesome. And if you would like to contribute to it, she's looking for people to add lyrics
we're like
and stuff.
Crowdsourcing data.
Yeah. Which we have a good chunk of the lyrics that we can put on there, but not all of them. She made us this awesome form. We'll tweet it out if you are interested in going. It like asks what your favorite episode is and things like that. So we will tweet that out if you feel like helping with Jasmine's categorization and documentation of Song Salad.
It's really cool.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you so much.
Cool.
Yep.
Until next Christmas.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together, we're croaking. But like actually croaking because we have vocal fry.
Then I stared into the frog's eyes and the frog stared back at me and we shared a moment. I thanked him for his sacrifice.